Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
We're live in the O'Reilly Auto Parts studios on a bench. O'Reilly Auto Parts. Better parts, better prices. Every day, 855-212-4227 is the number to get on the bench. This game preview brought to you by Buffalo Wild Wings. Trades are scary. When a player leaves your team, you can't like them anymore. You can't even wear their jersey, except here. We don't judge, but others might. Buffalo Wild Wings. Wings. Beer. Sports. So, the Bombers are sinking miserably. They've lost four straight. They lost two to Detroit. Then they go to Cleveland, and they get whacked in these first two games. And on Saturday night, they'll send Jordan Montgomery, the lefty, against the right-hander Danny Salazar. After Boston won again on a walk-off Moreland home run at Fenway, their lead is 2.5. Carver High, is it about time for Montgomery to step up and the Yankees to win a game, or they're going to find themselves in big trouble because they're playing terrible baseball again and they're not hitting?
Yeah, the last 3 days have been tough for them. They're just not hitting the baseball right now. Montgomery has been losing some steam. Tomorrow's a big start for him because now with Garcia and Sonny Gray in town, somebody's going to get pushed out of this rotation, and I think it's going to be between him and Garcia. So he's got to show something tomorrow in Cleveland, and the Yankee bats really need to come alive. They've been terrible the last three
And
weeks.
Washington said Wrigley, no Scherzer, no Gio in this weekend set. They're going to go with Edwin Jackson tomorrow against John Lackey. Who do you like there? Do the Cubs get back on their feet after losing today?
Big Cub weekend here. They'll take the next two.
All right, this game preview brought to you by Buffalo Wild Wings. Wings, beer, sports. Don't forget Lomachenko's fighting Saturday night and UFC fight night. Mafia's very excited about it. 855-212-4227 to get on the bench. Don't forget, we put a podcast out after every show on Twitter at OnTheBenchCBS and at Scott Farrell. Get the I Am Scott Farrell app in the App Store for free. It has everything on the show that you can imagine, our tweets, our Facebook page, PharrellOnTheBench.com, picks, daily fantasy rosters, videos from in the studio, Pharrellavision, Pharrell Ballers play-by-play, YouTube videos. It's got everything on it that you can imagine. Every interview we do on CBS Sports Radio, all of it's on the I Am Scott Farrell app. And by the time we go to Vegas August 24th for the Mayweather fight and the week of college football openers, the week of August 28th, moving forward into the Labor Day weekend, we should have live streaming on that app by then, which should be an interesting add-on feature to it. So get the I Am Scott Farrell app in the App Store. It's free. I think you'll like it. All right. So I don't want you guys to freak out or anything because I know you don't seem excited. Like, if Jamie Eisenberg was on here, you'd be excited. You would. If he was on here talking fantasy football, you'd be excited. I'm going to host a huge fantasy draft, national fantasy draft in Vegas, August 26th. It's going to be amazing. You know everyone's talking about it. This week I saw Jamie did a mock draft. It's huge. Are you going to sit here, Mafia, and tell me you don't smell the fantasy football cooking?
Of course I do. I've already got the emails about when my drafts are. Of course, they're all going to not mesh with my schedule, so people are trying to get a leg up just because they won last year. But I'm ready for it. I'm doing my homework, watching all these injuries, see who's going to step in, who's going to step up.
Why do you think Ezekiel Elliott is falling? Jamie has him falling to number 8 overall. I just cannot believe that.
Because of the time he's probably going to miss. Everyone's expecting the NFL to come down and give him a suspension and miss, you know, a couple games. So if you start the season, if you waste a high pick on him, then you might not have him for the first 3 or 4 games, and then you're stuck with, you know, some riffraff you pick up later on.
So here's one of the drafts. First round is David Johnson goes number 1, then Le'Veon Bell, then Antonio Brown, Julio Jones, Odell Beckham, Mike Evans, A.J. Green, and Ezekiel Elliott 8, and Jordy Nelson 9, and Shady 10. What do you think of that? These are, I guess, 12. You get 12-team PPR mock draft. Also, the 11th was Dez Bryant, and the 12th was T.Y. Hilton.
That sounds about right. I mean, the only thing that I worry about besides, of course, the suspension we just talked about for Zeke and if Bell stays healthy, things like that. But, you know, to me also, McCoy, as good as he can be up in Buffalo, he's a guy that gets banged up from time to time too. So not because he's a Bill, but because I'm looking for the most value I can get from guys. I don't know if I draft him that high.
What about Leonard Fournette? Do you think he's going to have a big first year in the league?
I think he could be a badass. I mean, for a rookie running back to have a huge breakout year, though, you have to find the right situation because I think a lot of these guys, when they're brought in, they don't want to rush them and put the full load on them right away because they're still learning the system. They're still learning the game. They're still learning how to take those, you know, bigger hits from faster guys.
You don't think Jacksonville will give him the football, that horse?
I think they'll give him the football, but I don't think they're going to throw the full load on him, you know, right away out of the gates. I think they're going to, you know, ease him into things to begin with. Especially because of the injuries he's had coming into the season. You know, all those injuries he had leading up to the end of his career at LSU, they might work him in slow.
Here's an early second-round pick of that Freeman guy from Atlanta, the back. Do you like him, Carver High?
Love him.
He does it all, right? Like running and catching?
Out of the backfield. Problem is, you know, he's in a split, but he still puts up a lot of points, so he's worth it.
Yeah.
Well, the question is, what is that offense going to be without Shanahan there? How are they going to run it? Is going to be the same situation where they use those backs, you know, both running and catching it as much as they did last year.
Jamie's got in the fourth round, his first pick was Alshon Jeffrey in Philly now. Do you think he'll do well with the Eagles or be the same guy he was with Chicago?
I don't think he's going to have a good year.
Here's Christian McCaffrey in that round, in the fourth round. Do you like what Carolina's going to do with him, Mafia?
You know, it's tough to say with guys like that. You know, he's kind of the same as maybe a little bigger, a little more talented than Danny Woodhead, but those kind of guys, they can get. Sometimes they put up huge points, sometimes they don't. It all depends on how many snaps they get, how many looks they get, because he's not a guy that's going to be a straight downhill runner. He's not a guy that's going to get a ton of handoffs where you know he's going to get a lot of chances to do things. They say they're going to use him a ton, but who knows if that means he's going to get open for some passes all the time or, you know, what points you might get on returns. He could have value, but he could also be a huge bust too as far as fantasy goes.
All right, so of the quarterbacks – ranked in terms of the big board, it goes like this: Aaron Rodgers, Drew Brees, Tom Brady, Matt Ryan, Russell Wilson, Andrew Luck, and then Cam Newton 7, Big Ben 8, famous Jameis 9, Derek Carr 10. Then after that, Mariota, Rivers, Stafford, Cousins, Dak, Eli 16, Tyrod 17, Dalton 18, Palmer 19, Tannehill, Dunn, Knee. Carson Wentz, 21. Bortles, 22. Please, what a disaster that guy is. Bradford, then Alex Smith, Flacco. They have Flacco, 25th. Do you remember when we were talking about him being elite? Now he's ranked that low?
Right after he got that huge contract when they won the Super Bowl.
Do you think he's finished?
It's not an explosive offense. It's just not. It hasn't been for years.
And then the worst is basically they have Trevor Siemian, Deshaun Watson, Brian Hoyer, Jared Goff, and Mike Glennon. And then everyone has this David Johnson guy with Arizona as the best running back. Do you believe that? Do you think he's really?
Without a doubt, the guy is dynamic on both sides, whether it's running or catching. You give him the ball, you give him some space, he can make big things happen. He can knock you down, just throw that shoulder and run right through you. He's a badass.
They have Marshawn Lynch, 18th. They don't think he's going to do anything with the Raiders. Do you think he'll do anything with the Raiders?
It's hard to tell. He didn't play for a whole year. I think you got to go out there and see what he has first. It's hard to tell.
And then they have actually Antonio Brown over Julio Jones. Do you think Antonio Brown's better than Julio Jones, or it's either or?
In terms of fantasy, it's probably Antonio Brown. In terms of real life, who would I want on my team, it's Julio Jones.
And then Odell Beckham Jr. and then A.J. Green, Mike Evans. Do you think Mike Evans and D-Jack are going to do great in Tampa together? And then with that big O.J. Howard that they got out of Alabama will make Winston just go off this year with those receivers if they're healthy?
I think they definitely can be. I'm not going to jump completely on the bandwagon there because we've seen how many times guys have said things like that about young offenses like Jacksonville and things like that. We're all going to be playoffs now. They're going to just take over and then they fall flat on their face. I think he's going to have a good year. I think they can be dynamic if they work well together. I mean, Jackson isn't as good as he used to be. He still has the speed, can still catch the deep ball. I don't think he's as huge a threat as he was. He kind of fell off the last couple of years in Washington to me. But Evans is a complete badass.
So, Carver High, did you see that I had this in there for you this week, the Bills, the things you need to know about the Bills. So this is a shuffle off the Buffalo Report, Mafia, where we're actually taking a gander at Carver High's Bills. Tyrod Taylor. Shuffle off the Buffalo. Everybody thinks he throws one of the best deep balls in the league. And then that's the extent of his strengths. Do you buy that?
He doesn't turn the ball over.
But he can get out and run, too, can't he?
He can do that. He can scramble. He's had more running yards out of quarterbacks in the last two seasons. So,
you think he's inaccurate?
He's short. He's extremely inaccurate. Between, you know, short and mid and medium range, he's very inaccurate. For some reason, he's not inaccurate deep, though. So
it says McCoy's productivity will hinge on his discipline. How about it'll hinge on them opening holes for him?
He's going to be fine. That team is a running team. He's gonna as long as he stays healthy, he's gonna put up big numbers.
Sammy Watkins, if he doesn't have a big year, the Bills will have no chance again. Do you believe that?
Yeah, he is the entire wide receiving core right now. That's it. The kid that they drafted, Zay Jones, and you don't know what he is, so Sammy needs to stay healthy. Needs to actually show that he's a professional this year.
Sean McDermott's a 4-3 zone subscriber, loves game plan blitzes.
Can't wait to see him.
Do you think their defense will be better because of him?
They should be. They can't be any worse than what Rex did to them.
Do you think their run defense will be better under McDermott?
He's going to put the guys in the right position. Rex was playing guys where they shouldn't have been playing.
Wasn't Rex supposed to be a defensive genius?
Well, he thinks he is, but he wasn't.
They had many needs entering the draft. They went with a corner in the first round.
It's a huge need for them.
Do you think they'll play more man coverage than they did under Rex Ryan?
They'll probably play more man. Because Darby's better at man, who's been there for a couple of years now. The kid, they're going to throw him right in there and let him play a little man also. So
they don't have edge rushers that produce. Do you think they can finally get to the quarterback?
They've got guys. Three years ago, they had the most sacks in the NFL. They've got guys who could do it. They just weren't put in the right positions to get it done.
They just didn't get it
done.
You
put Jerry Hughes in the position to go kill the quarterback, he's going to do it.
So we talked last night at some length, didn't we? Didn't I throw it out there of who's going to be the first coach to get fired? Didn't I go with Pagano? Yes. You don't like those odds, Mafia?
I agreed with you last night. Like I said, some of these other teams, you talk about Fox, he's bringing a rookie quarterback in. They might give him a little leeway. You talk about the Jets and Bulls. I mean, everyone knows they're pretty much tanking, so you can't blame him. They might, but I don't think you can, especially with Woody Johnson leaving the day-to-day and giving up a lot of the control. I think Pagano, with the quarterback he has, the offense they have, if they don't produce, if they fall flat on their face for the first, you know, six games of the season, he's a candidate to be gone.
So what we're talking about on the bench tonight, the Dolphins are waiting on the final word on Ryan Tannehill if he's going to have surgery. They're getting closer, allegedly, with Jay Cutler. The question begs, will Jay Cutler get the money and then still not lead them to the playoffs because Jay Cutler sucks? How's that for a question? What did Jay Cutler do in Chicago except make tons of money?
He didn't do too bad when Gase was there.
So you think he's going to start that magic again and get the Dolphins to the playoffs? Jay Cutler.
I do not think there'll be a playoff team if he's the quarterback.
DeAndre Hopkins wants Savage as his starting quarterback in Houston. He says he's the best judge of quarterbacks. He's played with so many in the last 4 years. Is he right, or should they go with Deshaun Watson, the stud out of Clemson? The Hall of Fame will be inducted tomorrow in Canton. Kurt Warner, LaDainian Tomlinson, Jason Taylor, Terrell Davis, Jerry Jones, among the names going into the hall. Any thoughts on that? Doc Rivers loses his head of basketball ops presidency. Lawrence Frank has it now. Is it the beginning of the end for Doc in Lipstick City? And the Yankees lose again, 4 straight in Cleveland, while Boston wins. And Yu Darvish looked great for the Dodgers in his debut at Citi Field. 855-212-4227 to get on the bench. Later this hour, Charles Robinson, senior NFL reporter for Yahoo Sports, will join us.
This is Pharrell on the Bench.
All right, 855-212-4CBS. 855-212-4227 is the number to get on the bench. Charles Robinson will join us at 40 past the hour from Yahoo Sports to talk NFL. He's been all over the place. He was at that brawl in Seattle. And is he now in Canton for the Hall of Fame? No? What else did you say he was at? He's been at a couple of things that happened. Oh, he was he at the Miami thing?
No.
Where else was
he's
he?
He's been in the West this week. He saw the Cowboys, the 49ers, the Raiders, the Seahawks fight. And now he's heading east, I believe, this weekend.
So. All right. We'll talk to him coming up at 40 past the hour. So, still, deadline. It happened. It came. It went, right? Now the guys are the waiver deals that could possibly happen. Do you believe, because Jay Bruce cleared waivers, right? You got to be kidding me that somebody wouldn't take him.
For $4 million bucks for the rest of the year, you would think somebody could have used him. I mean, if somebody would have claimed him, the Mets could have just pulled him back. Not going to lose him for nothing. But now they can trade him.
Do you believe Zach Britton will finally get a deal? Do you believe that that was close in Houston?
I don't think that he'll honestly clear waivers. I don't think that he'll clear. If they put him on, I don't think he'll clear.
What about Marco Estrada, the Blue Jays?
He stinks. I mean, let's be honest. If somebody wants him, go ahead and take him. If I was the Blue Jays, I'd let somebody. Nobody's going to claim him. He stinks.
What about Brandon Phillips of the Braves?
Same thing. He'll get through. Somebody might need him as a spare part.
No one will pick up Stanton with that big contract, will they?
Nobody will claim him. He'll go right through.
Verlander?
He'll go right through. He already did. Verlander already cleared.
He already cleared. But no one will do a deal for him.
I mean, they could try to work. Now they can try to work on a deal because he cleared waivers, but it's a lot of – we talked about this before the regular deadline. That's so much cash for that dude. A lot of money over the next 3 years. Tough to swallow.
God, that money that they owe him. It's just – it's almost like he's stuck.
Yeah, it's exactly.
It's crazy,
they
right?
Got some bad contracts on that team.
So, college football, we've been talking about it this week on the show. We talked about the rankings, right, that came out.
We did.
Last night, didn't I go through it? So, we talked about the same teams as always, the heavy hitters, the heavy hitter club, Alabama, Ohio State, Florida State.
Maybe we can get lucky this year, and some of these teams can get knocked off multiple times. Because just losing once doesn't matter, especially if you're Alabama. You lose once, they're still going to red carpet you into the playoff. You know, it doesn't really make a difference. You need them to lose multiple times. We really need Florida State to beat Alabama there in that first game.
In Atlanta.
Shake some things up right out of the gate. That's what we need.
Right. So how do you think Todd Herman's going to do at Texas? Like his first year at Texas. I know it'll take a little time, but do you think he could stun some people in Austin right out of the gate like Charlie Strong couldn't?
I think that Teddy J the other night said it best. I think he's maybe not out of the gate, but in a couple years, he's going to have that program maybe back to where they were. I believe that. I think the guy can coach. He kind of did Houston a little dirty down there, but he's going to get Texas right back
on
the
map. You mean your boy Teddy Football?
Teddy Football.
Three-time champ?
Legend.
Kiss stealer. Rolex wearing. Limo driving. Do you think Lane Kiffin will fail at Florida Atlantic Mafia in Boca Raton, Florida? Good evening, Boca Raton.
Well, what are we considering failing? What are we considering success at that school? Is he going to make like
could he go
make
500?
Top 25?
Could he go 500?
He can go 500 at that school, depending on what the schedule is. I mean, if he it's not going to be a program where he's going to turn into a winner that's going to be consistent every year. Or something.
How long do you think he'll stay there?
Only as long as he has to.
So 2 years.
So you think he'll hit and run?
I think he's going to do really well. He's going to be gone in 2 years.
And be gone for bigger things.
Absolutely. He's going to have a good 2 years there. He's going to bring that. Listen, it's not hard to bring that team around. They're terrible. They've been terrible forever.
Would you have considered him at Ole Miss?
I would have if I was them.
Like right now?
Especially because it's not like the guy doesn't have a history of jumping to the bigger job when he has something else. I mean, he's done it before, so if I was them, I would have looked into it, reached out.
he can't leave them after not even coaching a game yet? That would be, I mean, it would be so him to do that. It would be so Lane Kiffin to do something like that, but he's got to give them at least 1 year down there in Boca. He can't go running before the season even starts.
And take off for old man.
He can't do that. I'm sorry.
And they're going to federal prison.
Why would you want to coach there anyway? That place is going to be on lockdown for years to come.
Right.
Yeah, no, nothing can happen to you there.
He might be better off in Boca.
From Ole Miss, yeah, he might
be. I used to drive by that school every day, Florida Atlantic. Right off Glades Ave, son. Right off Glades, son.
He's going to do well there.
He's going to do well.
Yes.
You're giving him a thumbs up.
Yeah, I think he's going to turn the program around.
Wow. So Sam Darnold's getting all the love. Like, he's the greatest quarterback in the world. He's going to be the number one player selected in the NFL draft, allegedly. And he's going to win the Heisman Trophy. Do you believe any of that?
No.
So none of it. No Heisman.
I think
Heisman,
he'll have a good
no,
year. He's not going to win the Heisman.
Or number one draft pick.
I don't think it's a guarantee that he's going to come out at the end of the year.
Do you think, Mafia, that Baker Mayfield will be a better quarterback and have a bigger season than Sam Darnold at Oklahoma?
I think he's going to have a big year. I don't know if he's going to have a better year and jump over him in the draft or anything like that, but I think it could be – they'll be two of the top guys. Jackson's going to be up there. His name's going to be
Jake Browning at Washington.
He'll be thrown in the mix as well. I mean, those are four guys. I mean, you're going to be a quarterback-heavy Heisman vote for a long time, you know, until one of those guys gets hurt or falls off.
Will JT Barrett suck again at Ohio State? Because he wasn't great. He was great, then he was average. Now he's got another year. What do you think he'll do this time?
Let's hope he does. Let's hope he's terrible again. That's all we can hope for. We really need teams like Alabama and Ohio State. We need these teams to lose. Okay, we don't want these teams to be good.
Always.
Let's have a year where we've got a lot of chaos and all these superpower teams are gone by the, you know, middle of November. It's not going to happen, but we can all do
it. How old is the pitcher for the Angels coming out of the game, Jay? 12? What is that?
Just had his bar mitzvah last week.
What was that coming off of the mound?
Welcome to Play It, a new podcast network featuring radio and TV personalities talking business, sports, tech, entertainment, and more. Play it at play.it.
This is Pharrell on the Bench.
All right, let's hook up with Charles Robinson, our buddy from Yahoo Sports, and talk NFL. You rolled around the West Coast and went to several camps. It's good to have you back on the bench. Let's start with Seattle and that fight you saw break out at their camp. Everybody likes seeing training camp fights. It's more interesting than the stupid training camps and those meaningless preseason games where all the star players get injured and lose their season.
Yeah, it's always interesting, particularly when you get out to Seattle, because I swear there's at least one fight. You know, there's usually multiple scrums in Seattle over the course of the preseason, and then, you know, there'll be like one legit fight every preseason, and I just happened to be there. This was a pretty shocking one, though. You know, I think it was weird to me that people just sort of passed it off because, well, geez, football is a violent sport and guys get into training camp fights. I think just because there was no video of it, it wasn't a story it would have been had there been video of it. I mean, Frank Clark he straight up decked Terrain Effetti, and it was pretty much as bad as anything you could see in terms of a guy landing a blow to a guy's face. And it was very spirited afterward, and you know, Pete Carroll obviously was upset. But of all the franchises where you see stuff like that happen, I mean, Seattle's such an alpha world, and that locker room is just so many A personalities in there that it's almost not even surprising when you see things like that happen.
You know, you got a great quote from Sherman where he talked about the team that people have been waiting for their demise. They're going to have to keep waiting. We're tough to deal with. We've been here for so long that and in the spotlight that people assume we're past our prime, but none of us are even 30 yet. We've got 3-4 years of prime left. He may be right.
Yeah, I mean, defensively, definitely. You look at the defense, and remember, they're accentuating that defense with younger players. Frank Clark is entering, what, year three? Jaron Reed, the guy that they think is really going to blossom this year. I mean, their defensive front, particularly that line, is insane. It's as loaded as a line has been in a really long time, just in terms of potential top-tier talent. You could potentially have you know, Pro Bowlers who are on the bench, you know, coming in and rotating in for them. It's that kind of a front. But offensively, you know, it's a different story. They're still struggling to get that offensive line put together. That's kind of the Achilles it was last year. I don't know that they know they've solved it yet. And they signed Luke Jokel, you know, basically for a year out of Jacksonville, and he wasn't very good in Jacksonville. So we'll see if the line comes together. But defensively, I agree with Sherman. I don't think they're really out of their prime yet. I think there's still enough time there with the stars and then the young guys coming in that have breathed some additional life in, that defensively they should be a great team for another 3-4 years.
Charles Robinson with us from Yahoo Sports, senior NFL reporter. So with Wilson, you know, he played all banged up last year. How's he doing now, and how do you think he'll do this year?
He looks good, healthy. He's sharp in practice. You know, offensively, the pieces there, the backfield, they still got to sort it out. You'd like to see Thomas Rawls actually play an entire season and not get hurt. And, you know, they've got a rotation in the backfield that I think they feel pretty good about. Eddie Lacy looks heavy again. I mean, I don't know if he made his last weigh-in or not. I couldn't really get an answer for that. But, you know, Eddie Lacy is, I think, going to be a weight management guy as long as he's there. But I also think they're not looking at Eddie Lacy going, hey, we've got to give you, you know, 20 carries a game or anything like that. But I do think this is a team that, unless Jimmy Graham has got something really special left in the tank, and I just don't know if that's the case, I could see this being a team that is a very run-heavy offense to protect Russ and, you know, playing a lot of games close defensively. It's a poor division. They have a weak schedule this year again, and really even running the football with defense, it should be a 10-win team at minimum.
So I thought your article was great on Jerry Jones. What was it like sitting down with him for an hour and talking about his career? And I mean, I read it, and you talk about him, you know, buying the team for $140 million and frankly turning it into the most profitable team in sports, $14 billion just juggernaut, as you call it. And that he's this alpha leader of all billionaires in the NFL. What was it like hanging out with him for an hour?
It was illuminating. You know, it's interesting to listen to him talk about the start because it's so different than how he really gets portrayed now as sort of being this, you know, the hustler, the hip shooter, the guy who's always got three fingers of Jack Daniels and, you know, kind of slick and the deal maker. And you talk to him about the beginning, and he admits, like, it. He at one point said it felt like a ship launching in the nose of the ship going into the ocean and just sitting there waiting, going, is the nose going to come up? Or am I done? Am I finished? And to hear sort of the doubt that he clearly had and he expresses so freely is pretty interesting. It's a lot easier to do that when, you know, you've got the most profitable team in the NFL that's worth more than any North American franchise. But Jerry is often very honest in those situations. I think you can challenge him. And I thought, to me, what was probably his most poignant moment was just asking him, are you comfortable being thought of as the leader of all these other billionaires in that room? And he kind of pushed back on that and said, I'm not trying to be the leader of everyone, but I'm trying to make it uncomfortable for everyone. And what he meant was, anytime he does something, whether it's build a stadium, sign a sponsorship deal, get involved in marketing, he tries to always take it a little further than anybody else, 10%, 20% further. And I think he looks around that room and he looks at the other owners and challenges them to keep up.
So at one point he was paying $100,000 a day in interest on the team. And then I can't believe he turned it into a $4 billion franchise. It really is unbelievable.
Yeah, it's amazing. I mean, the money financially that he had dedicated to the franchise was just unbelievable. And as you said, $100,000 a day in interest at one point, he had borrowed so much money. It was funny. After the story ran, I had a longtime league executive read the story, and he was kind of laughing. And, you know, he texted me and he talked about how there were times when you would go there for a game or whatever, or you would be in the facilities, and there were utilities shut off in areas of the facilities early on, because Jerry literally was trying to save money any way he possibly could. So think about that. There was a time where Jerry Jones was telling people to turn the lights off.
That's crazy. What did you think, Charles Robinson? He was cruising the West Coast teams. What did you think when you spent some time with the Raiders and seeing them with their quarterback's leg healthy again, and then to see Marshawn Lynch running around with that team?
Marshawn's in shape. I was pretty surprised by, or at least in my mind, is the last time I saw Marshawn, he was definitely heavier than he is right now. He looked pretty good to me physically. I think that he's a guy, if it's a hot hand situation, I could see them really giving him a lot of the load. But I also think they have designs on a postseason run and would like to have him fresh the second half of the season. So it'll be interesting to see how they work his load early on in the season and keep him healthy. And then, you know, Carr looked good. I think he's sort of, even though he got all the money, I still think Carr, and despite the statistics he's put up the last couple of years, I still think he's in a growth phase. I think they know that, but it is really just entering his prime and, could conceivably get better. It's going to be about the pass rush for them. They've got Khalil Mack. Everyone talks about that. And geez, he could get 30 sacks, but they know defensively that if they can't balance it out and find someone opposite Khalil Mack, he's going to become a focal point of opposing offenses, and that's going to be a problem. And they're looking at the corner saying either you're going to have to hold it up or someone's going to have to surface opposite Khalil to be a pass rush threat, because we can't sit here and manufacture it all season long. So that, to me, is really what they're trying to work out in the preseason.
What do you think? So you went and saw the Rams, I'm guessing. What is it going to be like for the next few years, do you think, for them as they – frankly, struggle, I believe, and wait for this Shangri-La Stadium to be built that they're going to share right with the Chargers. Aren't they kind of in flux? And they got this young quarterback who he's really learning the hard way, and just a team that looks like, for the next few years, it would appear to me they're going to stink.
Well, I'll say this: Sean McVay came in, and pretty quickly, they moved to get rid of some players on the roster who they felt were not either hard workers or were not going to be part of the program, you know, going forward, weren't going to be, really on board with what McVay's message was in terms of, look, being there for every workout, studying, bringing stuff from the classroom, being smart enough to not repeatedly make mistakes. So you saw guys like, you know, Kenny Britt was a guy they were never going to bring back into the fold, and he was arguably their best receiver last year. You saw Greg Robinson, they just got tired of Greg Robinson failing over and over again, and he was going to hurt someone, I think they felt. And they go out and they sign an Andrew Whitworth, and they go, this is our anchor. He's older. We're probably only going to get two, you know, prime years out of him. But that's the way they're approaching this, that they need to find real anchors, guys that are some veterans that can work and show guys how the game should work. But, you know, you said it. It's going to be a long process. It's all about Goff. And to me, that's really what this is all about this season. What can Sean McVay do with Jared Goff to get the arrow pointed at least slightly upward? It doesn't have to be straight up, but they've got to see some progress out of that kid this year.
What was your experience like with the Niners?
It was good. I went out there, and Reuben Foster, while I was out there, there was all this talk about, you know, Reuben intercepting passes, and he had never intercepted a pass at Alabama. And how, you know, he's kind of showcasing this ability to drop into passing lanes. He wasn't just a run thumper. You're talking about a guy who, in terms of just top to bottom college player, if you're ignoring the red flags off the field, was probably the best complete college player in the draft. And, you know, you go out there and now all of a sudden he's picking passes off, and they're extremely excited about him. But you look at the roster, and, you know, there are maybe 7, 8, 9 guys where you go, 3 years from now, when the majority of this roster is turned over, they're only really going to be 7, 8, 9 of these guys are going to be on this roster in 3 years. And I think that's what this is about. I talked to John Lynch, and one of the things that Lynch said to me was, yeah, there's going to be churn. And right now we're not churning the bottom of the roster. We're churning the roster. And that's what really lies ahead for the 49ers. They're going to have a ton of money next offseason. And the quarterback, even though they have Hoyer, probably going to be a multi-year fix. But, you know, this is going to be a slow go of it. I think people are going to have to be patient with this team right now, and we'll see what happens next offseason if Kirk Cousins becomes someone that they could potentially go after in the market. But it's this is a long-term fix with the 49ers. You're not going to see this team turn around in 1 or 2 years.
I got 45 seconds. Briefly and respectfully, I ask you, what, did Shanahan wash off that Super Bowl loss like it didn't happen, or do you think he's got demons?
He's not even thinking about it. I talked to him, and it's not even a thought in his head. He has just enough arrogance to be one of those guys that moves on and doesn't even look back. I truly believe that. I think he's arrogant enough to have already forgotten it. I really do believe that.
Wow. I hope the rest of them in Atlanta can do the same thing, because where I come from, they all look like they need shrinks to me after that loss. Charles, great stuff. Great coverage of the NFL camps for us on CBS Sports Radio. Have a terrific weekend. We'll catch up again soon.
Absolutely. Thanks for having me. Always my pleasure.
Charles Robinson from Yahoo Sports, senior NFL reporter. All right, we got a lot going on into the Billy Idol Hour of Love. 2 more hours to go. We're going to talk a lot of Yankees, Mets, Yu Darvish tonight, owning New York at Citi Field, Oakley's problems, a lot more coming up on the Bench.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.